Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Hello and welcome inside hour four of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Hey, buddy.
Oh!
Game of the night? Well, not so much a game. Still a great experience and some unforgettable stuff. But I thought UCLA's experience was going to help them and they'd be on the same page a little bit more in this game than Gonzaga. Not even close. Gonzaga just blows out UCLA in number one versus number two game tonight, and they got out to a 10-point lead early, and it never got any closer. 83-63 is the win over UCLA, and it was just an absolute dominant show by Gonzaga. Now, we'll get to the game coming up in a couple of seconds, but the one thing that this game had, and really one of the more emotional moments you'll see, is the return of Dick Vitale to the broadcast booth and calling the game. Dick Vitale has fought a battle against cancer for a long time, recently continues to fight it, and some of the emotion that he showed being back on the sideline, doing the game, what other people around the broadcast were saying to him as they were getting ready to go on the air with this game was really just incredible. And here's a little bit of Dick Vitale talking about this before the game.
Made it out to Las Vegas for a game that I know you had circled for a long, long time. It's just awesome. Great to see you.
Great being here, Dick. I didn't want to cry. I can't believe I'm sitting here. This is really a big thrill for me. I want so many great messages. ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, all my buddies in ESPN. I want to thank certainly my family and all the fans. My, you've been unbelievable.
And that was a sample of what it was like for him. And look, he had no voice tonight calling the game. And those are always my favorite Dick Vitale games where because he can't help himself because he's just so effusive and so full of excitement for the game that he can't just, and you hear his voice go, oh, and he can't really say. I mean, that's just Dick Vitale in a nutshell. And, you know, I worked with him when I was behind the scenes at ESPN when I was a producer, and he's the same guy off the screen that he is on the screen, still full of emotion. Now, does he get all excited? No, we're not in work meetings, and everybody says, how you doing, Dick? He goes, oh, I'm doing fantastic. Oh, what a day this is. Oh, look at the sun shining. No, but he's still a version of that. And clearly, you know, it's a more heightened version because he's doing a game, right? All play-by-play people, you get more excited doing a game than you do when you're not, but that's truly who he is. And the most amazing thing about him is that usually as you get old, this is just what happens. It becomes a younger person's world. And it is, hey, you've been great for a while, but it's time. We got to get to the next generation of stars in anything, whether it is TV, movies, anything you do creatively. As you get older, it's okay. It's time for the new generation. Hey, sorry, you can't play a leading man anymore. You're going to be the leading man's dad. And it's difficult. And you see it now with many people that you're saying, look, ESPN has tried to shove Chris Berman to the side for years because you get a lot of programmers who are in their early 40s and late 30s going, you know, I want to be the ones to make change here. I got to put my mark on this organization. So we're just going to shunt Berman to the side and just put him on ESPN Plus or whatever it is. And that's just a natural thing. It happens when you get older. That's just the way it goes. And as you get older, as someone who does something creatively for a living, you have to kind of find your way to stay happy. You know, for an actor like Kevin Costner, it's okay, I'll take some supporting roles in movies, but Yellowstone has become a huge hit and it's on television on Paramount Plus, and hey, that's kind of my fiefdom now. That's where I'm still the big dog. But in movies, you know, he's not what he was in the 90s and early 2000s where he starred and headlined every single movie. You kind of have to find a way, your new normal of how do I still enjoy being important and contribute. Dick Vitale has never had to do that. Dick Vitale is at, he's got the same popularity now that he had in 1990 when he was the big breakout star on television, when he came out with Diaper Dandies and as a Windex player cleaning the glass. This is Dick Vitale going on his fourth decade of being an absolute super duper star in college basketball, and he's still the most identifiable personality with the game, and that shows no signs of slowing down. Dick Vitale is going to be Dick Vitale and work and do this until he doesn't want to do it anymore. Until he says, you know what, I'm done. I can't yell. I got no voice anymore. You know, I just can't do it. I'm done. I'm finished. But that's what he has that so many people would want in their career. I want to be able to be 70, 75 years old and still be the number one person doing what I'm doing. Hardly anybody can do that. Dick Vitale can. And that's just a testament to his popularity, to what a positive person he is, and how excitable he is, and how he gets the audience excited for a game. And when you see a game with Vitale on, hey, it might not always be the best game, but you know it's always going to be a great game. It's going to be fun. He's going to say something that's going to make you laugh. You're going to be excited watching the game. And it's going to feel like Duke North Carolina of the 90s and early 2000s. That's something Dick Vitale has that nobody else does and nobody else can touch.
Well, it's funny because we talk about it, you know, in relation to our broadcasters and other sports, right? You see Joe Buck, you know there's import to the game, right? It's the featured Fox game. It's the playoffs. It's the World Series. It's the Super Bowl, that kind of stuff. With Dick Vitale, I mean, there's nobody more synonymous with the sport and the infectious nature of the energy, all of those bits, right? It's him and Bill Walton are your two spokespeople for the sport, as far as I'm concerned. And maybe I lean that way because I'm a little bit older and in that demo that remembers him when he was that top-of-the-mountain guy with those Duke North Carolina games. But, you know, it's the visibility on campuses, the excitement, the embracing of all that's good. And while we may disagree on a lot of the business side of college sports, because let's face it, it is a business, as much as you'd like to keep it quote-unquote pure, that leaves the door at the end of grade school anymore, by the way, Jason. I mean, that, quote, purity thing. You're coaching girls. You see some stuff. You're like, what are we doing here? And certainly as you get into high school and you talk about friends and high school recruiting, hell, even going back to our time, it had started that long ago. But for Dick Vitale, I mean, the emotion here, you know, how much it means to him. I had someone in line while I was waiting to get into the Universal Studios here in Orlando as a vacationing, visiting family and all that. And hopefully everybody, if you're out on the roads, you know, just be safe. We've seen pictures of the horror stories around Los Angeles already. Just you're on the highway. Hopefully we're making you laugh and be entertained. But a guy behind me started telling a story of how he'd been in a wheelchair last year for 4 or 5 months after a car accident. You know, the initial prognosis was he wasn't going to walk again, whatever, and eventually he did, and, you know, moving slowly, but he was at the park and thankful for Dick Vitale. He's been raising millions of dollars for cancer charities for years, going all the way back to the Jimmy V Fund and what that's grown into, and he's been one of the biggest cheerleaders of that. And then going through his own personal issues here with cancer treatments and chronicling that on social media and his fight, and then getting back there, and you saw the emotion. Like, you don't think you're going to be able to do certain things again, right? I mean, maybe all of you out there, you've had a family member, maybe in your own health or jobs or whatever it is, like something you love that suddenly is taken away. For Dick Vitale, you know, this is quite obviously, you know, he loves his family, he loves his Tampa Bay Rays, but this is, you know, home for 40 years, and when suddenly you're faced with the prospect of that not being part of who you are anymore, come on, that's got to be the scariest thing in the world. And so for him, that emotion tonight, hopefully we all, not that we want the trials that come with it, but we all in this Thanksgiving week, we pause for a moment and recognize those things, those people, those experiences that matter to us that much more.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So a phenomenal night for Dick Vitale and a phenomenal night for Gonzaga, who really just showed that we are the dominant team in college basketball. You thought we were number one. We are clearly more than that. And, you know, I said this earlier in the show, and I, you know, the more I think about it, the more apropos the comparison is that seeing Gonzaga the last couple of years in college basketball, and they've gone from a team that, hey, they were the darlings of the tournament, you know, 20 years ago, when guys like Casey Cavalry were, hey, Gonzaga's winning the WCC. Here they are somehow in the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and now they've turned into a dominant pro. It's almost like they're a latter-day UNLV. Right when UNLV in the 90s, they just kept bringing great players in, you know, playing in the Big West, and they were able to win NCAA championships and make Final Fours. And it was, how are you doing this? And they built that dynasty there in Vegas with Jerry Tarkanian. And now Gonzaga's kind of done that with Mark Few. And seeing their dominance, they remind me of Clemson. When Clemson went from the Deshaun Watson era of, hey, we're really good every year, now wait, now we're a dynasty, then we segue to Trevor Lawrence, and now Clemson's a little bit harder times because, hey, you know, not every quarterback is Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence, but losing like one game a year or maybe one game every other year is kind of where Gonzaga is at, and it's much more difficult in college basketball because there's more games, but that's kind of the level they're at right now, where if they lose one game in the year going to the tournament, okay, they lose one game. Maybe they're undefeated going into the tournament. That's the level of dominance Gonzaga is at right now. And clearly, just like Clemson, sometimes we don't lose all the way, but we lose in the national championship. And then we're undefeated next year. And it's, boy, we've lost one game in 900 days. We have one national title to show for it. Gonzaga is that kind of dominant right now. And clearly, you can see the mission that they have for this year is, okay, last year, it was great, and then it sucked at the end. But now, we may be even better than we were last year because of guys like Chet Holmgren, who is going to do 1 year at Gonzaga and then head to the NBA as one of the top three picks in the NBA draft, most likely. Drew Timmy, who's going to be a really high draft pick, may wind up being the player of the year in college basketball. They may be even better than they were a year ago, and it may be watching to see if they can go undefeated again and win the national championship.
Certainly some excitement abounds, a huge matchup, and then they get to follow it up, no rest for the weary or for the title holders, at least in the estimations. Not that they have it, but, you know, that situation, 31-1, then 31-2. They don't get to rest because they've got Duke over the course of the weekend, number five in your programs right now. So you've got that rolling for you. But back-to-back years, preseason number one. You look at over Mark Few's run there, 635-125. Last double-digit loss season in 2010. He's had two his entire run, spanning 760 games as you go. So consistency of a program, and a reminder for college basketball, go back to college football. Even if you have dominance, finishing the job is difficult, especially the tournament format for the NCAAs, because all it takes is one off game to send you home. And so when we get down to it, right, and I'll use your guy Boeheim as the example, you know, everybody that'll say, oh, he has the one title. It's like, no, it's hard. It's hard. As much as we want to deride you and make fun of you, Smith, you know, he's the vessel by which we do that. He says celebrate longevity and all of the good that comes out of the program that's built and what those guys go on to do in their postgraduate life. But you know, just for Mark Few, he's got a juggernaut, and we watched it on display tonight. So get ready for months of just seeing them penciled in, not even penciled in, it's Sharpie, as the number one, and then we'll anxiously await to see if they can finish the job.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And they say there's no good teams in the NFL. There's no great teams in the NFL this year. It's a bad year for the NFL. I'll tell you, there's a lot of teams that are just not very good, but there are no great teams in the NFL. Are you kidding me? The thing is, Mike, we're so used to, by now, here we are Thanksgiving week. We're used to knowing these are the top teams in the NFL. And once we get out of Thanksgiving, it's the final four games, and these are the teams with 8 or 9 wins, and they're looking to get to 13 or 14 and secure home field advantage. Normally, we know who the great teams are by now. But, you know, look, this is a year in the NFL where could win the Super Bowl, could miss the playoffs. You could describe a lot of teams,
it's
right?
A lot of teams, absolutely.
That could be everybody. The Bills could win the Super Bowl. They could miss the playoffs, right? The Chiefs could win the Super Bowl. They could miss the playoffs. That could describe everybody. This is just going to be a little bit longer until they really reveal themselves. Because that's honestly where we're at right now in the NFL. It's not that, oh, there's no good teams. No, we're just seeing the teams that we thought were great are struggling now. And yeah, Buffalo is struggling now. But if Buffalo wins 3 in a row, guess what? Buffalo's going to enter the last couple of games with 9 or 10 wins, and suddenly, oh, everybody's back on the Bills bandwagon. Same thing for the Patriots. Oh, the Patriots are 7-4. But man, if they win 3 or 4 in a row, that's 8 wins in a row. So it's going to happen. We're just not going to have it yet. This is going to be more of maybe the second week of December. Okay, now the cream is starting to rise. We have a lot of teams that are sitting around the same record, right? The entire league seems to be 6-5 or 6-4, and that happens once in a while. So if that's the case, it's all right. You want to be playing your best football at the end of the year. We will see who these teams are, because, you know, look, in a couple of weeks we're going to have teams that are 9-3 or 10-3. Okay, it's not like in a couple of weeks everybody's going to be 8-7. I mean, no, we're going to have your 9 or 10 win teams. We just don't know who they are yet. So in 3 weeks we could see the Patriots and the Ravens and the Titans and the Cowboys and the Packers. Okay, hey, guess what? These teams are all pretty good. Now, maybe a couple of them wind up not winning, but other teams will. So we're going to see those teams. There are going to be great teams. It's just a little bit longer to figure it out this year than there normally is in the NFL, and that's the more accurate statement about the teams right now.
Yeah, I would say right now, if you just said, all right, you've got to give me one team that you think is great that stands above everybody else, I would give you the Arizona Cardinals, because you've just won 2 of 3 games, no Kyler Murray, ankle injury. Now you're on a bye week with Colt McCoy. J.J. Watt, who you paid a lot of money to come in, and you and I had talked about this, and I think not a wholly unique take on the situation, but it was, all right, how many games are you getting out of him, and can you get him to the end of the season where if you're playing meaningful football towards a playoff push and towards, in theory, a Super Bowl run, would he be available? And he's not. So you have that. But between Zach Allen, Budda Baker, who's a little bit banged up now, defensively you got some guys making some big plays, taking care of business. Kingsbury on the offensive side, he's pulled the right strings thus far, right? Chase Edmonds and James Conner, offensive line's better. We've traded out Larry Fitzgerald, who's probably looking at the squad going, why didn't I come back to be the possession guy one more year?
This is the year I decided to walk away.
Why did I come back one more year as the possession guy?
Stupid.
But think about it. One of their losses is all on A.J. Green, right? Otherwise, we're talking about a team. And again, we don't know what the domino effects are, right? And that's always the specious reasoning and faulty logic of, well, if they won that game, they'd be 10-1. So, like, you don't know that. Because they win that one, perhaps there's another one that there's a letdown, there's a something else that the domino was go the other way on you, or they don't fall at all because you spaced them too much. Be careful, kids, as you play with your dominoes. Make sure that there's spacing, because if there's a cool effect you're working for, one gap is going to really blow the illusion and ruin the TikTok video you're trying to set up. But I look at that with no Kyler Murray. You look at the wide receivers, good, not great guys other than DeAndre Hopkins, and you're winning with him on the shelf as well. So I would offer right now the Cardinals, but to your larger point, yeah, you've got a lot of very good teams, and they've stubbed their toes. The last 3 weeks have been nothing short of chaotic. I mean, on the whole for the season, we can run down, you know, against the spread and whether the home field advantage as a league really exists anymore and go through all of those metrics. But just the eye test, you know, we've crowned different teams through the week. It's like doing the MVP stuff week to week. It's like, oh, here they come, Cincinnati, look what they did. It's like, oh, wait, and then they go out and get drummed. Right? Cleveland goes and absolutely buries them. Or Baltimore, after they beat up and really bullied the Chargers, then going out and getting hammered by the aforementioned Bengals, right? You go through trending, as we've talked about over the course of the night, and watching the Colts do things with Jonathan Taylor. He stays healthy. That offensive line stays healthy. They could be a very dangerous squad. You know, the Patriots, they don't have a world beater, but they got a lot of guys you got to try to figure out and try to slow down the way the offense works, spreading the ball around, distributing properly. The Kansas City Chiefs, left for dead, now lead the AFC West. Do they feel like the old Chiefs? No, but if they're in the dance and hanging around the chicken coop, I got problems, right? Patrick Mahomes, I'm trusting that you're going to shut him down entirely. Forget about it. And then you've got Brady and Rodgers back in the NFC, and people still very excited about Dallas because I think they want to see Jerry Jones, you know, in big spots, having great media for us down the stretch. The way that happens is they're really good or they're terrible and they tank. So we'll see what happens. But we've got a great sprint to the end of the regular season to come, including that extra week, Jason. You know, added on for extra flavor.
I always love extra flavor.
Well,
I
get
extra
cheese on my sub today. We got to talk about flavor.
I am going to stun you because I am not only going to say I agree with your point in theory or I like your point in a vacuum. No. I am completely with the best team in the NFL is the Arizona Cardinals, and it's not even close, particularly close with anybody else right now. I mean, as you said, look, winning two out of three games without Kyler Murray is fantastic. Winning without DeAndre Hopkins and one without Chase Edmonds, you know, who's averaging 5 yards a carry. They're winning comfortably. Zach Ertz is the trade deadline acquisition right now, helping to keep everything afloat. But defensively is where they stand
Vance
out.
Vance Joseph, man. Absolutely.
Look, they're number three in passing yards allowed and passing yards allowed per game, and I really don't know what else you want Arizona to do. Have they beaten the good teams? Yes, they've beaten the Titans. They've beaten the Rams. They've beaten everybody they've needed to beat. That's really good. Yeah, they lost a couple of games, but look, everybody loses a couple of games. You lost one without Kyler Murray. You've beaten the desperate teams the last couple of weeks. There is no team more desperate than the Seattle Seahawks. The 49ers were desperate. You've beaten the bad teams. You've beaten the bad teams pretty good. You've crushed the Texans, right? You beat the Jaguars by 12 points. You've done everything that you would ask of a great team. But because it's the Cardinals, are the Cardinals really
that
good?
Well, everyone wants to play the wait and see.
What else do you need to see from the Cardinals?
What I mean. Because of in the past, they've had some pretty good runs in the first half. It's kind of like what the NFC version of the Raiders. Right,
yeah,
have some big moments, some big games. It's like, oh, this is going to be it. And then all of a sudden, there's a big fade. And I think right now, talking about the Cardinals more, the job, like you're just chronicling and going through the stats of Vance Joseph, there's some big stuff there. But because it's the Cardinals and everybody still loves the Rams, they get pushed aside.
Well, the one like wow, could I see the Cardinals losing? Because clearly they could wind up being that team that runs through home field advantage. Still have some tough games left. They got to play the Rams, but that's at home. They're at the Cowboys. But still, what's the issue that the Cardinals could run into? In the playoffs, they're going to be the neophytes, right? They're going to be the ones that are facing teams that have made the playoffs and had big runs before, right? In their way is going to be Tampa Bay, who has just won a Super Bowl and they know how to win. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers know how to win. So there's going to be those couple of teams at the top where they're going to play where it's, ooh, okay, these teams really know how to win in the playoffs and the bright lights are kind of new to Arizona. But I'll take those problems any day of the week. You know, but that could be where things get a little bit starstruck. You see a game plan out and the Cardinals not used to the bright lights and not used to the stakes, and the other teams raise it and they know what to do. That's my one thing for the Cardinals. Even when they play the Rams, look, the Rams, a lot of these players are in the Super Bowl. They get it. McVay's a Super Bowl coach. That's my only thing for the Cardinals, but that's really it. Because there's nothing else that they don't have right now. Look, defensively, people don't even talk about how well they play defensively, especially how well they play against the pass. And that's what you have to do in the NFL now if you're going to win. But that's it. Because Arizona, clearly, they're the best team in the NFL. And for everybody else, you want to say, oh, but Brady, no, right now it's not close. Arizona's the best of all the teams in the NFL. We're wondering for great teams. They're the closest one, and they're better than everybody by a long shot.
But you got to feel good about your chances. If you get Aaron Rodgers in the NFC title game, Oh, too soon.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, too soon.
It's too soon, like bro.
That's that swollen dome for anybody that wants. Yeah, that's swollen.
No, that was really good. Come on.
Dome. You were mad at me when I said my ivermectin line the other night on Aaron Rodgers now, so I'm giving it right back to you.
Well, mine's only controversial if you're a Packer fan and you got hurt in your feelings. The other one opens us up to a whole other world of discussions. And I'm all about sports and entertainment. Let's go.
Initially, I was hurt by his words, and then I suffered an injury.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. Big NFL news today. Listen, the Arizona Cardinals, you got to give them their due. The Giants fired Jason Garrett. So they are now promoting Freddie Kitchens to be their offensive coordinator. Welcome back, Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens is back from the dead. Look at me. I'm ready.
Just don't make him the head man and you'll be fine.
We knew this was coming because Joe Judge was asked about the offense last night and gave the, well, I'm not going to talk about that right now answer. So you knew Jason Garrett was going to get fired. And clearly the Giants offense is a mess. Now, this is another case of when something happens on national television, the impact of it is tripled. Because if the Giants lose a game like this to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in a game that's on TV only in the local markets, maybe Jason Garrett gets let go, but maybe not. But when it happens on national TV and you see the embarrassment and the entire night and next day, you are going through all of the breakdowns of it. And you see, I can't believe this play was called. I can't. Why are we throwing the ball in the middle of the field to three wide receivers when they're all standing next to each other? You knew it was going to happen. And this is change for change's sake. And hopefully the Giants offense gets a little bit better. They get a little bit more creative and back to where they were at the beginning of the season with Daniel Jones running the ball a little bit more because he's kind of like a poor man's Josh Allen. Maybe they can get a little bit of a spark. But this does not change anything, right? This is like that statement Kevin Bacon makes in the beginning of A Few Good Men. You know, Lieutenant Caffey's going to dazzle you with reports of code red and words you haven't heard before. But in the end, Santiago is dead and Dawson and Downey did it. Like all of this, hey, we're firing Jason Garrett. And we're going to have creativity in the offense and Kadarius Toney's going to throw more passes. And all of this is not going to change at the end of the year. Dave Gettleman's going to get fired. So is Joe Judge. They're going to replace Daniel Jones at quarterback with a big name, and big names are going to want to come to New York again because they're hitting the reset button and everybody's coming in equal. No one has to come in worried about working for a GM or inherit a head coach they don't know if they like or a quarterback they don't know they can win with. The Giants are going to press the reset button on the three most important positions in the organization: GM, head coach, and quarterback. And they're going to be a big destination, and that's what's going to happen. All it is from now until then, hey, we may get some fun, may dazzle you with terms like code red, but in the end, those three positions are being remade by the Giants, and they're going to move.
It's funny. I had a couple of thoughts on the A Few Good Men and why we run it here. When it went bad, we cut this guy loose, and you tried to make him the fall guy for your lack of direction, Judge. My bigger question, and I know it's hard to fire a guy when you win two of three, but if you believe, as Judge said, it's, you know, a longer time coming, then why did he come back out of the bye week? There's your 2 week period to go and do something and change direction. Instead, you wait to the inevitable drubbing by Tom Brady and company. I don't understand. Right, you had the opportunity. If you decided that you wanted to make a shift at that point, you could have and sustained whatever little momentum. And, you know, that's a hard word to use in sports. I think it's overused. But the idea that you'd won two of three, you'd been in a number of games, had a number of close losses, not that the offense was efficient or that the defense was world-beating at any point, but you had a couple of tough, hard luck losses, the, you know, one play the other way, and all of a sudden you're a team that might be fighting for that back end of the playoff run. So if you're, that's your intent, saying, all right, we're going to shake this thing up, why did you wait for another loss and after the bye week to do it? All right, you won two of three, but you still think philosophically Jason Garrett's not your guy. See ya. We're going to try to do great things in the second half coming out of the bye. That's it, and moving forward. So I don't understand that, but you're going to do what you can to try to save yourself and make things look better and cast blame. It's a societal thing. What are you going to do? But you have Joe Judge, at least for the moment, trying to get the stink off him, saying Freddie's going to save the day.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. 877-99 on Fox is the phone number, and of course if you miss any of the show, you can download the Best Of podcast. It goes up right after our show is over on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it is there. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Download it, subscribe to us, rate us. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. Coming up next, it's one thing to hear a head coach, people want him fired, you chant you want him fired at a game. It's quite another thing to hear those chants break out in grocery stores the next day. Oh yeah, we got a story for you. That's next on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm going to eat that ass up.
Whoa. Happy holidays to you, too.
Yes. Tie shirt ready for Thanksgiving. It is absolutely clear. It is one thing to chant to have a coach fired at a football game. It's another thing to have a coach fired, to chant him having fired at a basketball game when he's a football coach. It's another thing to chant to have a coach fired at his son's football game. And it's another thing to hear chants breaking out in businesses across the city, including the produce aisle of a supermarket. But this is the life of Matt Nagy. Bears head coach, who has had all of these things happen over the course of the past few days to him, many sources saying that Matt Nagy could be let go after the Thanksgiving Day game, and maybe that's the only reason he's still coaching. He says, it's a short week, it's a holiday, I don't want to deal with it. We'll just do it right after we got the long break, no one's going to care. But you piggyback on that with the reports today that many Bears players want Matt Nagy gone, and oh my goodness, Mike Harmon. You know, for everybody who says, fans don't have an impact on a franchise, whenever it gets this bad and overwhelmingly fans and really the team itself desire a certain outcome, that person's going to lose their job. And it's a weird thing to see because usually, we don't listen to fans. We don't listen to the outside noise. When something like this goes so overwhelmingly the other way, you know it's just a matter of time. So, you know, fans do have power in certain situations, and this is one of them. I mean, when you got fire Nagy chants breaking out in businesses, you know, across the Chicago area, you know that's going to happen at some point.
In the businesses, we saw the notes that it had happened at his kids' football game, coming out of the student section of that game. So, you know, they had to issue statements on behalf of the school and get in touch. And then they never name Matt Nagy or his son by name in the letter that they wrote, which is everybody knows the detail. Let's not talk to us like we're five-year-olds, like it's a general thing. Somebody in the room, you know, spilled glue all over Susie's notebook. And the guy's sitting there with the glue bottle still positioned where he's trying to get the last drop. It's like, not somebody. Little Joey there did it, okay? Same thing here. It's like, we know what the situation is, the specificity of it. And it's been ham-handed, handled the entire way. From the organization, obviously, Nagy, my opinions on the way things have been coached and managed, the administration for he and Ryan Pace, they're well documented. Check out the podcast going back several years here on Fox Sports Radio, wherever you get your audio. Download it, give it 5 stars. Evangelize, it's the holiday gift-giving season. Here's the thing. The link and the download instructions, I mean, you print them out on a nice little piece of paper. The rest of it's free. It's your ink and your paper is the only cost. And you gave the gift of us and the rest of the Fox Sports Radio lineup for free. That's just so good. But they've done such a bad job with it, Jason. As much as I can hate the on-field product, I think if you're done with him and you've agreed to be done, then just finish the job. Because he's not going to quit because he's not going to give up the rest of the money by doing that. But you know, if you could pull the ultimate power play, it's like, look, if you guys aren't going to do this and you keep hanging me out to dry where whatever these leaks are to local reporters, because you had a number of players, a couple of guys on defense most prominently today, just be like, where are you guys getting this stuff? Come on. We love Matt. We're playing for Matt. We're all frustrated that we're not winning. And some of that's going to spill, but it's not Matt, you know, that they're calling for. And I'm using it as the players talking to reporters, right? That, you know, or coach or however it was addressed in the different media. But certainly you've got an untenable situation. Right? And he's also now, you know, with the company line of, yes, as soon as he's healthy, Justin Fields will be our starter. There's still a lot of problems there. The roster is imperfect. They got a couple of offensive linemen that are young that might be something, right? One playing now, Jenkins, who they knew needed surgery and wasn't going to go, but still drafted him highly. You know, when you're a team coming off of a playoff berth, however you got there, you got into the dance last year, that you still have a pretty good roster, that you take a guy that you know is going to be unavailable to you for this year. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you're fighting for your jobs. So you've public perception, and it's not just fans. You look at even national punditry at the time, scratching our heads. We did it on draft night. And certainly, as you watch this team, a lot of injuries and just ineffectiveness, inefficiency. Allen Robinson's invisible, and it's just been a miserable experience. So I think best for everybody to just clap hands and move on, even if it hasn't been the way the Bears have operated since George Halas was no longer the coach.
Now, here's the best part. Here's the best part.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Bears sent Matt Nagy out there to answer questions today, not talking to him about, hey, there's reports the team wants you out, there's reports you could be fired after Thanksgiving. They sent him out there to talk to the press without addressing any of that with him, and taking a listen to how Nagy had to respond.
That is not accurate. You know, I have not, you know, I have great communication with ownership, with George and Ted and Ryan, but I have not had any discussions. We have not talked this week, and that was scheduled. You know, that's been we have a good schedule over the years where we have discussions. Like you guys always hear us talk about, you know, we have constant communication with the bye week and then with the short turnaround with game prep. We have not.
Do you have assurance that you'll coach the rest of the season?
Say that again.
Do you have assurance that you'll coach?
Again, my focus right now is on these players and on Detroit. That's it.
Yeah, I come out here, they allow me to come out here and just basically take all these bullets. Yeah, dead man walking. That's what's happening to Matt Nagy. And it could happen right after we have turkey on Thanksgiving.
Still comes back to, until it's done, given the Bears ownership, I won't believe it. Anyway, enjoy your trip to fan-induced coma.
You as well, my friend. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike, get swollen dome. Enjoy the rest of Orlando. Ben Ballard's next. Fox.